Either Dorothy Coe or the doctor's wife was saying no, quite calmly, and patiently and resolutely, over and over again to each new question. And whichever one of them it was, she had an audience. Reacher could sense the low physical vibe of other people in the house, breathing, stirring, moving their feet. The doctor himself, he thought, and two of the football players. Reacher tried the door handle slowly and carefully. It turned, but the door didn't open. It was locked, as expected. The door was a stout item, set tight and square in a wall that felt very firm and solid. Because of tornadoes and laws and standards and requirements and conscientious architects, he let go of the handle and crept back downstairs. For a moment, he wondered if the laws and the standards and the requirements and the conscientious architects had mandated a second way in. Maybe a trap door from the master bedroom. He figured such a thing would make a lot of sense. Storms moved fast, and a sleeping couple might not have time to get along the hallway to the stairs. So he walked the whole floor, looking up, his sore neck protesting. But he saw no trap doors. No second way in, and therefore no second way out. Just solid, unbroken floorboards laid neatly over the strong, multiply joists. He came to rest in the middle of the space. He had a number of options, none of them guaranteed to succeed, some of them complete non-starters. He could turn off the hot water, but that would be a slow-motion provocation. Presumably, no one was intending to take a shower in the next few hours. Equally, he could turn off the heat, which would be more serious given the season, but response time would still be slow, and he would be victimizing the innocent as well as the guilty. He could kill all the lights at the electrical panel, one click of a circuit breaker, but there was at least one shotgun upstairs, and maybe flashlights, too. He was on the wrong side of a locked door, unarmed, attacking from the low ground. Not good. Not good at all. Chapter 44. Seth Duncan had his right hand flat on the doctor's dining table, with a bag of peas from the freezer laid over it. The icy cold was numbing the pain, but not very effectively. He needed another shot of his Uncle Jasper's pig anesthetic, and he was about to go get one, but before he attended to himself, he was determined to attend to his plan, which was working pretty well at that point. So well, in fact, that he had permitted himself to think ahead to the end game. His long experience in the county had taught him that reality was whatever people said it was. If no one ever mentioned an event, then it had never happened. If no one ever mentioned a person, then that person had never existed. Duncan was alone on one side of the table with the dark window behind him, and the doctor and his wife and Dorothy Coe opposite him, lined up on three hard chairs, upright and attentive. He was leading them one by one through a series of questions, listening to their answers, judging their sincerity, establishing the foundations of the story as it would be told in the future. He had finished with the doctor, and he had finished with the doctor's wife, and he was about to start in on Dorothy Coe. He had a cornhusker standing mute and menacing in the doorway holding the old Remington pump, and he had another out in the hallway leaning on the basement door. The other three were out somewhere in their cars, driving around in the dark, pretending to hunt for Reacher. The illusion had to be maintained for the sake of Rossi's boys. Reacher's capture was scheduled for much later in the day. Reality was what people said it was. Duncan asked, "Did you ever meet a man named Reacher?" Dorothy Coe didn't answer. She just glanced to her left out to the hallway. A stubborn woman, hung up on quaint old notions of objectivity. Duncan said, That's a very strong basement door. I know, because I installed the same one myself when we remodeled. It has a steel core, and it fits into a steel frame, and it has oversized hinges and a burst-proof lock. It's rated for a Category 5 storm. It can withstand a 300-mile-an-hour gust. It carries a FEMA seal of approval. So if, just hypothetically, there was a person in the basement right now, you may rest assured that he's staying there. Such a person could not possibly escape. Such a person might as well not exist at all. Dorothy Coe asked, "If the door is so good, why do you have a football player leaning on it?" "He has to be somewhere," Duncan said. Then he smiled. "Would you prefer it if he was in the bedroom? Maybe he could kill some time in there with your little friend while you answer my questions." Dorothy Coe glanced the other way at the doctor's wife. Duncan asked, "Did you ever meet a man named Reacher?" Dorothy Coe didn't answer. Duncan said, "The calendar rolls on. It will be spring before you know it. You'll be plowing and planting. With a bit of luck, the rains will be right and you'll have a good harvest. But then what? Do you want it hauled? Or do you want to stick a gun in your mouth, like your worthless husband?" Dorothy Coe said nothing. Duncan asked, "Did you ever meet a man named Reacher?" Dorothy Coe said, "No." "Did you ever hear of a man named Reacher?" "No." "Was he ever at your house?" "No." "Did you ever give him breakfast?" "No." "Was he here when you arrived tonight?" "No." Out in the hallway, 3 inches from the second corn husker's hip, the handle on the basement door turned a quarter circle and paused a beat and turned back. No one noticed. In the dining room, Duncan asked, "Did any kind of stranger come here this winter?" Dorothy Coe said, "No." "Anyone at all?" "No." "Any local troubles here?" "No." "Did anything change?" "No." "Do you want anything to change?"